Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Headlines for a hump day. Mike Fisher in for Choppy. Thank you guys for turning it on, leaving it on DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan. Tyrone Crawford going to have season-ending hip surgery after re-injuring it. Fish, I know that you spoke with him, but even more concerning, Brian Broaddus yesterday went on the G-Bag Nation and said he thinks that Tyron Smith and Lael Collins are going to miss this Eagles game as well.
At the very least, the Cowboys will be preparing starting today as if they won't have Amari Cooper.
Oh, my Lord.
As if they won't have Tyron Smith. As if they won't have Lael Collins. And then I would throw Anthony Brown in there, too. I don't think the concern with Byron Jones is that big. Now, Anthony Brown out? All right. I mean, nothing against Anthony Brown, but okay. That's what Jordan Lewis is here for.
That's what the fans want.
And they're going to get it because Anthony Brown's hamstring is a problem. If Byron Jones's hamstring is a problem, they're going to get a lot of Jordan Lewis because he might be a starting cornerback, but at very least slot corner. Cam Fleming's job here is to be the swing tackle. I think he did okay in that game. Not well enough because nobody did well enough. I think he did okay. So if you could have Tyron play left tackle and Cam Fleming play right tackle, that doesn't sound so bad.
Jerry yesterday was on with Ben and Skin, and he gave a pretty honest assessment of his defense so far.
Had times when we can tackle better. I think we've had times when we've got some backs that if they'd looked back at the ball, they wouldn't have gotten the calls for interference. If they'd looked back more, I've seen us make some plays where we did look back and have a great defensive plays. I think you can take bad angles. I've seen Heath take great angles and make great plays. I've seen his angles lack. That's important at safety that you do that. I think you've got to have some instincts back there. 27 has them. I think Awuzie has them. I've seen Byron Jones. I've seen Byron Jones really do some real good things. Two or three of those guys I just mentioned did them better last year. But this is just the first third of the season this year. We may be having a different conversation in the next six games, one way or the other.
Pretty honest.
One way or the other is really honest.
Better tackling, turn your head in the secondary, Jeff Heath angles, and highlighting Jordan Lewis there, which again is what the Tolos have been calling for.
Turn your head in the secondary is tricky because these defensive backs are not ball hawks. Jordan Lewis, who got the interception, is. And Michael Gallup told us at training camp, you remember, who among the defensive backs could play wide receiver too? And he said, oh, only Jordan Lewis is the only one who can catch. I remember the old Cowboys, Super Bowl Cowboys, used to make fun of Larry Brown, who ended up winning a Super Bowl MVP. Larry Brown, by the way, friend of the show. Because he never turned around. And Aikman used to say, I'm going to throw it up against Larry Brown because all he does is bury his head in the other guy's chest and run into him. And they were making fun of him. 12th round pick out of TCU. He wasn't going to do anything. He survived it, obviously. But some guys don't turn their heads around and jump and make a play on the ball. The guys that do go to the Pro Bowl. The guys that don't, right now, they're Dallas Cowboys.
We got a blockbuster yesterday as Jalen Ramsey was finally traded. Jacksonville sends him to the Rams in exchange for two first-round picks and a fourth. That was after they put Aqib Talib on IR. That was after they traded Marcus Peters to the Ravens for a fifth-rounder and another player who had fallen out of favor. But here is Jalen Ramsey as the Rams put every single chip in the middle of the table, Fish. Wow. And yesterday we were having a conversation about what NFC teams are better than the boys. I didn't mention the Rams. I was like, we're kind of the same. I'll put them above the Cowboys now, especially when Roy points out the future schedule. Because they won three, then they've lost three. Here's their future schedule. At Atlanta, Cincy, bye at Pittsburgh. They should be 6-3.
And it's not only who you play, but when you play them. And what the Cowboys have forfeited here is that 3-0 start that should have launched them into ownership of the NFC East. Now, Sunday night, they can still grab ownership of the NFC East, as tenuous as their grab might be. But the Jets game is haunting. Absolutely haunting. You lost to a good Saints program. You lost to Aaron Rodgers. Understandable. Unacceptable to lose at the Jets.
Yes, and Albert Breer points out, the Ramsey deal means the Rams will go 5 years without a first-round pick from 2017 to 2021. I would not want to be in that situation if I was the Cowboys and the cap hits. Quarterback, running back, D-line, wideout, and now DB.
Yeah.
You're going to have like five out of the top six cap hits at the position. That is going to destroy their depth. Kill it. So that's what happened as Ramsey forces his way out of Jacksonville. Jalen also doesn't have that next contract.
Yeah.
According to Josina Anderson, there hadn't been any discussions about an extension, and the Rams still pulled the trigger.
Let's keep watching to see when he forces his way out of the Rams.
Right. So that's what happened. Also around the rest of the NFL, Marcus Mariota has been benched. Ryan Tannehill, for now, is taking over in Tennessee. Michael Bennett suspended for 1 week by the Patriots for getting into it with an assistant coach. And the Browns and Redskins apparently working on a Trent Williams deal. That was reported by a Cleveland insider. The Redskins emphatically denying that, according to the Washington Post. What are the Redskins doing?
Running in circles. For how many years? For 30 years?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what are the Patriots doing? Putting Michael Bennett on suspension instead of cutting him for a cut-worthy deed, because then you lock him up and don't let him go anywhere else.
We have a team going to the World Series. They pulled out the brooms last night.
Here's the kick now. The pitch, fastball, is hit in the air to left center field. Robles calling for it. He's under it waiting, and he makes the catch! He makes the catch! Bang! Soon go the fireworks! A National League championship winning! Curly W is in the books!
Nats Radio on the call. Today, by the way, is Bryce Harper's birthday as his former team makes it to the World Series after sweeping the Cardinals. It was a 7-4 win. They were up early, and there go the Cardinals, Nationals playing in the Fall Classic.
And by the way, Bryce Harper, he's got to be happy a little bit. You got to remember when he went to Philadelphia, that introductory press conference was in March. I mean, he predicted it there in Philadelphia.
We want to bring the title back to D.C. I want to be on Broad Street.
Okay, once again, he was wearing a Phillies jersey, and he said,
we want to bring the title back to D.C. I want to be on Broad Street.
Well,
I'm happy for the Nationals, though. In the ALCS, the Armpit took a 2-1 lead after Gerrit Cole remained undefeated since, like, May. The Astros win 4-1. Cole didn't even have, like, his best stuff. Still struck out 7 over 7. And the unearned run against him means he still is not allowed an earned run in the postseason. Dating back to the beginning of September, he's allowed just 5 earned runs over 64-plus innings while striking out 106 batters. Game 4 is tonight. But the Astros are going to be tough to beat, man.
Embarrassing to turn on the American League Championship Series in the afternoon before your kids arrive from school and see a half-full Yankee Stadium as you have the Astros going up against the Yankees. And even more unfortunate that not only is it half-full, but that those half people were throwing bottles of water, throwing baseballs, throwing debris onto the field. It was ugly all around.
I don't know why they played it at 3 o'clock, but they'll be in prime time tonight. The Stars get back to action when they take on the Blue Jackets in Columbus. The Blue Jackets have sputtered out of the gates as well, picking up just 4 points in their first 5 games. Stars are looking to improve on their 1-5-1 record. Puck drops at 6 o'clock this evening. Headlines you need to know. Mike Fisher in for Choppy here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. We had Otolo and Ulis already cash in on the $1,000 contest for you turning it on, leaving it on. It's happening again this morning starting at 9 a.m. and then every hour throughout the day. Also, Fanniversary, free entry, October 26th, Texas Live. If you've never been there, number one, you have to go out there. Number two, KT is challenging you in basketball. Roy is challenging you in ping pong. Yeah, KT apparently has a nice jumper. That's what he says.
The Papa Shot game, it's not like a full-blown shot. It's just kind of how quickly you can work your magic and get the balls in as quickly as possible.
I would destroy Kevin Turner in Papa Shot.
Oh! Really?
Show bet.
I want to see someone go out there and whip Roy in ping pong. He's very good.
That ain't going to happen.
That takes an athlete, that ping pong.
Athlete?
You're actually moving your feet.
Okay.
Hand-eye coordination.
You're good at Papa Shot?
I'm better in KT.
There you go. Trash talk for 940 Crosstalk. As we're going to have Fanniversary with Jalen Smith and Charles Haley and Chris Woodward and Stanley Cup champions from the Stars, Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and all of us out there in Arlington, October 26th.
Yeah, last year Fanniversary was incredible there at Texas Live. Got to spend a lot of time with the fans in Tolos. And if you want to do what you did last year, this year with Sean, and have one of his 47 tacos that he bought last year.
Oh, man.
Man, that was awesome.
I blame that place. That is a confusing menu. That's a very difficult menu at that taco place. I'm just going to go to Pudge's Pizza.
You went in there and you're like, yeah, I take four tacos. Well, you didn't realize that it came with like four tacos each platter.
Yeah,
so you had like 16 tacos.
Yeah. It was four orders of them. But Texas Live, I've always said it's like a Vegas sports book.
Yes.
It's a Vegas sports book that's open everywhere. It's amazing. Have you been in there, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Troy's is right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Eggman will say what's up.
Maybe he will.
He brings cocktails shirtless
to your
table.
And if you want to go to the battle for the NFC East lead Sunday night in Arlington, Roy has your chance tomorrow.
Yep, I'm going to be out in Heath at 551 Lawrence Drive tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. We'll be giving away two more pairs of Cowboys-Eagles tickets. This is the adult giveaway, so come on out to Heath tomorrow, 551 Lawrence Drive from 4 to 6 p.m., and you could be going to the game on Sunday against the Eagles.
Oh, wait, you said Heath? It's where you're going? Oh!
Oh, is Heath all nice and fancy?
Oh, see, in Rockwall, that's our rival. Heath is like 4 minutes away, or as they call it, like a two-hour walk for their butlers and maids. Oh, Heath, the Heath Hawks and their finest Bentleys as they drive up and down Ridge Road.
What area are you in, Mike?
Wow, we're right off of Heath Hawk Drive.
Yes, Troy. You are.
As soon as the Joneses bought the land to build the Star, I bought Fisher Estates within walking distance.
With Tyron Smith's accountant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So you just followed Jerry.
Yeah.
You're like, that was a smart purchase.
Thank you.
Land and property is going to go up.
Correct. It's gone up.
Oh, wow. All right, when we come back, those are the headlines for your Wednesday. Thank you guys for turn this music off. Don Richie Rich over here. All right, when we come back, Fish is going to disagree with one of our scouts in the building. Jeff Cavanaugh went and did the film study. He went and did a video on 105.3thefan.com. He says that Dak Prescott, you want to fix the Cowboys? Dak needs to rebel and start going rogue. Let's see if you agree with it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cannot wait for the playmaker, Michael Irvin, live at 9 a.m. this morning. Going to be calling in from London, we understand.
Oh.
Here on Sean and RJ, Mike Fisher is in for Choppy at Fish Sports. Hopefully you guys are having a good Wednesday on the home.
We are not having a good Wednesday right now, by the way. What was that?
Can you turn your mic? I know that you expect everyone to do everything for you in here with your microphone.
Hey, will you give me some M&Ms, Roy?
When you are inhaling these walnuts, turn off the mic when they get caught in your throat instead of coughing into it like Kavanaugh. I even think Jeff has fixed that. What were you about to say there?
I'm just not having a good Wednesday right now.
Why?
Well, first of all, I've got some guy in his 50s barking phlegm into my left headphone.
I got M&Ms and acorns hitting me in the eye here.
And then in my other headphone, I'm over here listening to, of course, radio.com, where you can now fast forward and rewind our show completely.
Huge.
And I'm having to do that to WIP this morning, as Kevin Turner, KT from Ben & Skin, was on earlier. You're a mofo. Why are you making me go through this?
Because Roy says they think that KT is Dave Chappelle.
I think that my ears are bleeding after just a 7-second clip.
Russ, they can't let that. Did you watch this secondary this season? They're awful. Awful.
How do people listen to this?
I know. And you've heard in the past, they think that KT's a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, and it's not KT's fault. He is genuinely funny to many of us here in Dallas.
Yeah,
but
some of us.
He has the ability to make them howl with laughter in just basic conversation. He's not even making jokes. He'll just say something. Well, you know, I don't know if Jason Garrett. Ah!
Well,
that's a Garrett, that guy. I can't believe you said his name.
I want to hear KT on with them to see if they shower him with laughter a little bit later. I will go through the clips.
KT is one of the funniest things KT ever did. One of the greatest bits is saying he was better at basketball than me. So he's a hysterical guy.
Did he say that?
Well,
he said he was.
I think he can take you now.
In Papa Shot for Texas Live Fanniversary, the stage is set October 26th. All right. Yesterday, KT and Kavanaugh did a fan video, 105throughthefan.com, where Jeff specifically said he had the solution and the fix for the Cowboys. Let me give you some of his notes first from the film study, because I do love just copying and pasting what Jeff is looking at. Jets did a little of what the Saints did against the Cowboys. Showed cover two, but have an overhang DB, defensive back, that's there to play the run. Almost a D-bag. Made the numbers work against the Cowboys on some plays. If I could beg Garrett and Kellen Moore to do one thing, just one, it would be not to invite an overloaded box when it's third down and you need 1 yard. So in next week's Garrett interview, I need Sean and RJ to ask Coach, if there's seven men in the box and six blockers, are you comfortable running the ball into that? And Jeff said, I think his answer would be yes, which is a big problem. And Broadus responded, said it's a fair question, especially with how much 12 personnel the Cowboys used on first down. And then Jeff continued, and this is where Fisher's going to jump in. I'm sure he has total freedom at the line of scrimmage, but I also heard Zeke on the Cowboy Hour on the Fan say how it's understood how he needs to get the ball a bunch. I don't think this staff sees seven defenders versus six blockers as a situation to check out of a run, so the QB does as coached. Dak will have to go rogue to fix it. He will have to ignore his coaching of we can run against this look and unilaterally decide that's not the right play and change it to a pass, then get yelled at for it. Tough spot. I think NFL coaches are okay, or at least this staff is, with what the Cowboys are doing, but I'd like to see Dak check out a run plays where the numbers are wrong for that call, period.
Once he explains it all, it's way better than just screaming, Dak should go rouge.
Well, yeah, that's your web team butchering the spelling.
I love my web team.
Butchering the spelling of the word rogue. It makes us look very credible as a journalist.
Well, listen, if Dak would like to add a little color to his cheeks, there's nothing wrong, a little rouge.
I think that's your new song, Mulan. Oh.
Mulan Rogue?
Mulan Jeez. Rogue. Yeah. That's your new song, Roy.
On the surface of it, if we're suggesting that Dak needs to just do what Dak wants to do and ignore what he's being taught to do, instructed to do, guided to do for the last 4 years, KT and Kavanaugh know that's ridiculous. This isn't Willie Beeman. deciding that he doesn't like the old style of football being coached by Al Pacino.
But is it Tony Romo deciding, as Ben Rogers has said nonstop on this station? Is it Tony Romo overruling what's coming in from Garrett or Linehan?
I go back to Aikman. So Ben has his Romo reference points, which is awesome, and I have my Aikmans. When Aikman was a rookie, he had two plays at the line of scrimmage as a rookie, and he got to decide. Now, was he coached to, hey, make sure you get the ball to Emmett a lot? So don't check out of a million Emmett plays?
Right.
Probably. But that's where the quarterback has to make that decision. But he's already got the power to make that decision. He just needs to make the right one. Unless we're suggesting that the coaching staff is putting in two plays. Play number one, when you look to the left and there's eight guys over there, run left. Play number two, when you see eight guys over there, throw left.
Right.
If this coaching staff is that idiotic, then they should all be fired, including Kellen Moore. Ben Rogers now is starting a little debate with me on Twitter saying, well, you know, Garrett's not doing a good job, but we know the coordinators are great. We do? We know Kellen Moore's great?
I don't know that.
We know Chris Richard's great?
I don't know that.
Aren't they 0-3 too?
Yeah.
But they're not so 0-3-ish that they're telling Dak Prescott, here's your options, and they're both bad. So Dak Prescott someday, hopefully, will be where Ben's man Tony got. Tony Romo wasn't as smart in year one as he was in year 10.
Right.
By the time he was in year 10, he was literally offensive quarter brain, offensive coordinator brain.
Yeah, he was Peyton Manning wannabe.
100%. We can't ask to tell Dak, hurry up and be that, so you just basically call your own plays? That can't happen. That won't work because he's not qualified to do that. If you think Jason Garrett's not qualified to call plays, but you think Dak Prescott is, you've got it way backwards.
I agree with you. I can't believe I'm going to agree with you over Jeff. I think, because this is what I believe. I believe that Dak does get two plays, a run and a pass. So I would put more of the onus on Dak choosing the wrong option. That Dak isn't Dak, we need to figure out, like I said yesterday.
Yeah.
How much power does Dak have? And I think he has the power to choose between two plays. Is Dak the one choosing the wrong option that comes into him?
Isn't that a better, again, forget who you love and who you hate. Isn't it a better bet that the quarterback who's played for 3.5 years is making the wrong choice more than the 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds who are his bosses?
You would lose that on the fan tax.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If it was a poll, everyone would say that Dak Prescott's brain should be trusted more than Jason Garrett's offensive brain.
That's not logical.
Twice. Be logical. I agree with you.
I'm as passionate about this as anybody, but be logical. Put these four guys in a room. Kellen, Kitna, Dak, and Garrett, and do a quiz on offense.
And Dak Dak will finish fourth.
Finish a distant fourth.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott dreams of having what Kellen Moore has intellectually in football. And we'll get there someday, we hope. Dreams of having what John Kitna has. Dak isn't teaching Kitna.
Right.
Kitna's teaching Dak.
It's true.
Dak's not a head coach. Garrett's the head coach. One of the smartest coaches or quarterbacks that ever came through here was Jason Garrett. Now he's dumb?
What I would counter to Kavanaugh and KT, and that's why it'll be awesome to have KT in for crosstalk. I know he's listening because he just retweeted the segment tease. Shouldn't Dak be checking to the pass instead of the run versus the overloaded box? That's what should be happening, right? That can be him. It's not him going rogue. It's just choosing the pass option or switching to that if that's the way the mechanics of it is all working.
And that's why the term rogue is
Rouge.
Rouge. And the boys did this on purpose. It's a juicy word. It's an attention-getting word and good. It's a great word to have us talking about it. Skin's texting me saying, Fish, Dak has started 48 regular season games and 3 playoff games. He is qualified.
Ooh. But is he more qualified?
No.
Is he more qualified, Skin, than Jason Garrett?
No. Is he as qualified as the Seattle quarterback?
Right, because the big story the other day, and I did way too much homework on this than I should have, Russell Wilson lost communication with the sidelines and the play calls. So the internet went and broke down that drive. Averaged 7.85 per play. When he had the headset and communication the rest of the game, they averaged 6.07 a play.
Okay, so A, now he's suddenly smarter than their offensive coordinator? Ridiculous. But B.
But do you think that...
Not ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
But it's...
Golly.
No, are you kidding? No, but hang on. It's not ridiculous that Peyton Manning was smarter than his offensive coordinator.
But we
and I agree, he's Peyton Manning. We're talking about two different
Peyton
universes.
Peyton Manning is a savant.
Yes.
Right. Literally. And maybe Tony Romo is too.
Was there any point where Dirk was smarter basketball-wise than Rick Carlisle?
No.
Right.
Do you just assume, though, that if you have one more year of experience than someone, that you're always going to be smarter than them?
No, I assume if you have one more experience than yourself, then you'd be smarter than you were. Dak Prescott would be someday, if he gets to be Russell Wilson,
yeah.
What a party we will throw.
I think it would sound kind of foolish to say this early that Dak is equal to Kellen, Kitna, and...
That doesn't make any sense.
The Jason one is so hard for me to have come out of my mouth because I think he's so prehistoric. That bothers me to say, but I have no problem saying I don't know if Dak is there from a football intellectual standpoint just based upon experience. 877-881-1053.
Yeah, from the 214, Dak twice has had the opportunity taken out of his hands by a coaching decision. I guess they're referring to the timeout there at the end of the game that cost them the ability to try to get the ball back against the Jets. You know, I'm talking about when they didn't say the timeout. They called the timeout because Garrett needed an extra second to think.
Yeah.
And then they only had two timeouts left. They wound up kicking the onside kick. It was over.
And by the way, Skin roasted the coach for that, and Skin was onto something there. I think Garrett said something like, we needed a minute to breathe.
Yeah.
And Skin asked Jerry yesterday, do you agree with Jason Garrett's game management philosophy?
You said Garrett's philosophy. I'm not so sure that I can articulate without enough vagueness. What is philosophy? Is philosophy always going forward on fourth down? Doesn't that depend upon what part of the field you're on? Doesn't that depend upon down and distance? Doesn't that feel upon time in the game? All of those kinds of things. So if you're asking me that I can differentiate between Garrett's philosophy, other coaches in the league's philosophy, I don't know that I've got the years it would take for us to go through that and try to pin down a moving answer. I can't tell you what that game management philosophy is. I know you want to save your timeouts and have as many of them right at the end as you possibly can. But I also know that you want to use some of them for what they were intended for, and that's to correct an obvious error in officiating. But guess what? In the league today, we're not overturning anything. So do you want to use your time for there, or do you want to use your time to not get overturned at the end of the game? Obviously, if I just totally disagreed with Garrett and his philosophy, then he wouldn't be the coach.
Man, I was listening to Ben and Skin talk to Jerry yesterday, the conversation, of course, that we should have had.
Yeah, I know.
But no, they did great.
They hijacked the plane route.
And when Jerry said, what is philosophy, I'm like, right on. But nobody's going to listen to what you're saying, Jerry. That's too nuanced a conversation to have on radio or on Twitter. What is philosophy? You'll get laughed off the radio, you'll get laughed off Twitter, but it's true. Skin, what is philosophy?
Skin said the guys who are more qualified aren't on the field, so it doesn't matter. Garrett was more qualified than Romo, but Romo also did it.
Okay, did what?
He
ran the offense independently of the coordinator?
He changed it to it ran what he wanted, according to Ben. So we'll have this conversation moving forward. I thought you were going to get roasted the most today for saying that Jason Garrett would be sought after by other teams if and when he's gone. But it may be saying that Dak Prescott is not as football smart as Jason Garrett.
The Tolo is so upset with Jason Garrett.
Yes.
We have suddenly anointed Dak Prescott as a football genius.
When? 877-881-1053. Roy cannot keep up with the fan text right now. We'll get back into a Jason Garrett theory at 8 o'clock. What if he's the one who wants to dump the Cowboys? Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin also at 9, but they are burning LeBron's jersey. They're burning it. Did he apologize because of it? The update on the biggest scandal in sports next. Just got a nice phone call from Brian Broaddus saying, good segment. good segment right there talking about the play calling and Garrett versus Dak knowledge. And I saw someone, thank you, Brian, for that, turning it on, leaving it on. Sean and RJ, Mike Fisher in for Choppy. Someone tweeted, brought us and said, so you mean to tell us you don't see Garrett talking into his mic right before the offensive play is sent to the quarterback? Can you honestly answer or not? We watch the games as close as you do, and brought us said, it's Kellen Moore's show. What I would say to that person who tweeted Broadus, Jason Garrett does not speak. He barely speaks during games. So I would bet all the money in my bank account that Jason Garrett is not calling plays. Now, maybe, as we detailed yesterday, he's saying before a drive, hey,
I'd like to see this.
Let's run it a little bit here. Hey, let's not forget what we saw on tape with the safety in the corner. Let's go to this area of the
field.
Hey,
their cornerback just got hurt.
Yes.
Take a look at that.
Now, maybe Kellen Moore is calling Jason Garrett's plays. I don't know, but I believe Kellen Moore is calling the plays.
Where some of this comes from is Fake Sports One, who Skip Bayless made up a story saying, it looks to me like Jason Garrett has taken over, and people believe him. I don't know why, but they do. I don't know how he hasn't lost credibility after all this time, but they do. The offense is being run by Kellen Moore. It's an offense that is supervised by Jason Garrett. It's not any more complex than that. That's it. It's not. There's no secrets. There's nobody backstabbing each other. There's nobody changing plays against each other's wills. And there's nobody going rogue. Furthermore, I'm just telling you what Troy Aikman told me. Do you view him as an authority enough? The quarterback in the NFL goes to the line of scrimmage with choices, including this quarterback in Dallas.
All right. This next piece of information really stings, but the AFC Offensive Player of the Week is Sam Darnold. Who would have predicted that the Offensive Player of the Week would be for the winless Jets against us?
Here's one way to predict it. Who was the Offensive Player of the Week before?
Yeah, Aaron Jones.
That'd be Aaron Jones.
So, oh, my Lord.
It's two straight weeks.
And I don't know who the defensive player of the week was the week before that, but it might have been a Saint.
Good God.
Might have been Lattimore.
Could have been Lattimore. Could have been a Saints D lineman. And Kyler Murray was named the offensive player of the week, by the way, for the NFC. All right, let's bring you an update on LeBron. They're burning his jersey in China.
Which LeBron answers, well, at least they bought him.
At least they bought him. So
they've already got their money.
In case you missed it, LeBron basically called out Daryl Morey, who was advocating for rights and freedom in Hong Kong versus China. And LeBron is like, hey, he was misinformed. He was uneducated. And you put us in danger. You put us in jeopardy when we were in China. And yesterday, and then LeBron seemed to backtrack a little bit. And yesterday he was asked by the media, do you understand all the backlash that you're getting?
Yeah, I do. I do, and that's why I wanted to kind of clarify what my thoughts was and what my words was. So that tends to happen with me. I understand that, and I know that every word that I say is going to be broken down on however you feel or you see I said it. You know, so it comes with the territory, and that's okay with me.
Is it okay for LeBron, because you brought this up yesterday, Sean, and I have given it some thought. If he's motivated by saying, you know what, say whatever you want about how crappy China is, as soon as I get out of there, we get out of there.
Yeah.
My group of American friends gets out of there. I get that.
I get that, too. The problem is his statement was so bad,
sure.
I think. It made it seem like he disagreed with Daryl Morey advocating for freedom and human rights.
Right.
That's the way it's coming across.
Maybe he assumed that we all are in favor of human rights.
Right.
Maybe that's a safe assumption. But I've been thinking about this. If you and your sweetheart and me and Marsha took a vacation together.
Never happening.
I was going to be all for it.
I would go with Marsha.
And we went to Turkey.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. And while we were in Turkey, we heard that President Trump was thinking about starting a war with Turkey. Wouldn't we go, well, I mean, maybe, go ahead, but can you wait a week?
Yeah, can you wait a week?
Is that selfish of us, or do we want to live?
Let me ask a really stupid question. Ready?
Mm.
Has the NBA had a business relationship with China for a while?
Yes.
So if we knew and we all think that China's so terrible. Why has no one said anything before this? Is that, I know that could be a really stupid question. It's like Cuba.
It's not stupid.
It's like Cuba. Like we, it's a humongous deal when we partner up with Castro.
They'd not been doing this for 20 years.
Okay.
China had not had this dispute going on with Hong Kong for 20 years.
So how long has the dispute been?
It's only been for the last, like, year, less than a year.
Okay.
It's only been over the last year.
Okay. So
I think you...
That's good information to have.
That is good.
But that actually proves the point. That actually proves a point. And you could cite my ignorance on it. The reason I, you know, haven't wanted to talk about it a ton, and I think some NBA people, some don't want to comment on it, is because of a lack of information and knowledge. When Skin sits here and Fish sits here and says, two guys that I think kind of keep up with the world, when I hear those two guys say, I'm not that up to date on it, then I give some a pass who are in the NBA when they're like, I don't really want to comment on it. But that pass is not being given. That is turning into you're a coward. You do know about the foreign affairs. You do know about these subjects, and you just don't want to jeopardize the check that China gives us. You're a sellout, and you're a coward.
I bet you Donnie Nelson knows about the problems in China because he's almost a basketball ambassador there.
Yeah.
I bet you Del Harris does. I bet you that Steve Kerr, who says he didn't, ran his ass home and looked it up.
He said he did.
I believe him.
Yeah, he said, I've been studying up. I've been reading up on this a ton.
That's good. That's going to have to be good enough. What I don't believe, Boomer Esiason on his CBS Sports Minute yesterday talked about the Hong Kong human rights as if he knew all about it. And I'm like, you know, I've heard in the last year, I've heard 300 Boomer Esiason CBS Sports Minutes. I've never heard him once mention Hong Kong human rights. If it was so top of mind to him, wouldn't he have thrown it in one time?
Or was it a sports topic? I'm not just going to give, you know, political updates randomly on a CBS Sports Minute. Well, although we get Rutgers field hockey updates.
Right. They seem pretty random to me.
Yeah, Boomer doesn't talk about China, but he does talk about Mexico.
And slathered with habanero queso cheese sauce.
So if it's important, if Hong Kong human rights are so important, why are you talking about habanero cheese sauce?
Habanero, Rouge. Okay. LeBron said something yesterday, though. One more clip that I think you might agree with. This is LeBron with the response to the criticism on handling our own business first.
I also don't think that every issue should be everybody's problem as well. You know, so, you know, when things come up, there's multiple things that we haven't talked about that happen in our own country that we don't bring up.
Mm.
You know, there's things that happen in my own community that, you know, trying to help my kids graduate high school and go off to college is, you know, what's been my main concern over the last couple of years, you know, in my school. You know, trying to make sure that the inner city kids that grow up in my hometown can have a brighter future. And look at me as inspiration to get out of the, you know, the hell hold of the inner city, you know. And we don't talk about those stories enough, but we tend to, you know, want to talk about so many other things as well. So there's issues all over the world, and I think the best thing we can do is, you know, if you feel passionate about it, talk about it. If you don't have a lot of knowledge about it or you don't quite understand it, I don't think you should talk about it because it just puts you in a tough position. So.
It's almost like he listened to this show yesterday.
Well, he listened to a wrong part of it. Who is LeBron James to tell Daryl Morey or anyone else what to speak up about? You can't have it both ways.
If you
feel strongly about something, you know, then go ahead and talk about it. But, you know, don't talk about it if it's outside the United States.
Maybe we're...
Who's LeBron to talk about? Why can LeBron, props to him, talk about all the injustices and all his issues to help out his local community and the country, but Daryl Morey can't because it's not within the United States?
I interpreted his comment differently. I didn't think he was telling Daryl Morey not to. I think he was giving himself permission to or not to by saying, it's just like with politicians, you know, they can't fix everything.
Yeah.
So they pick three things. They pick three things that are their things.
Well,
so,
Dave McMenamin, part of the reason real quick, yeah, Mike, that I said that, Dave McMenamin, ESPN Lakers reporter, said that LeBron was so upset with Daryl Morey's tweet, he demanded the NBA take action to discipline Morey.
Mm.
So that comes across to many as,
yeah.
Oh, LeBron, you are ticked off that Daryl Morey may have hurt your bank account for saying something that many people agree with fundamentally and morally. So screw you for that. So LeBron
or ticked off because he put me in danger.
Yep.
Because I'm overseas and I don't want to start a war while we're here.
That part's really getting lost.
And can't we fix? I mean, do I have to be here right now to and today fix the Hong Kong human rights issue problem? Couldn't can we go back to the United States and do that?
Yes.
And by the way, I have a basketball game to play. And by the way, LeBron's completely right. I touched on this yesterday. Sean, we'll do it again. There was some murder involving a cop in Fort Worth.
Yes.
I don't know anything about it. I know nothing about it. I just haven't had time to look at it.
Yeah.
I know all about the one in Dallas.
Right.
I don't know all about the one in Fort Worth. You know why?
And I know about the one in Fort Worth.
Okay.
So it's just a difference of schedule and when you get to
it. Doesn't mean I don't care.
Right.
It doesn't mean you don't care. Frankly, I haven't gotten to the Fort Worth one because I live closer to Dallas than I do Fort Worth.
And by the way, a subject you brought up yesterday, which I agree with, a question where you said, is this going to radically change your mind about LeBron James? And there was a poll out there with a ton of votes, and it was split almost 50-50. I'm not going to change my mind about LeBron and everything that he's done. I think he's done, I think we do this a lot of times.
Yep.
Someone has 25 years of great service, and then there's a blemish or there's a mistake. And maybe this isn't a mistake or a blemish. And then we destroy everything they've done. That's ridiculous, in my opinion. LeBron has done way too much. And he's helped out way too many.
He's done more than you have.
Shut up.
He's done more than I have.
You don't know what I've done.
I have a pretty good idea. He's done more than almost all of us have.
Of course. Of course.
And that doesn't mean you have to like his persona or his basketball, but you have to respect that he's a fairly fine contributor to American society.
All right, when we come back, there is a Jason Garrett theory I have not heard before. What if he's the one who wants to dump the Cowboys? That, another chance to win $1,000. Mike Irvin at 9 a.m., all coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.